I thought what we could do in the first part, which is more like the theoretical part, the theoretical instruction of Kirtan, is we could just look at Kirtan as a sadhana. Sadhana means spiritual practice. What does this make into a spiritual practice? What is the reasoning that we can say singing all of a sudden becomes an exercise to reach the spiritual perfection? See, that spiritual practice is powerful as a practice which can bring about transformation. In other words, which can do something with our heart, which is the seat of perception, the seat of desires. When our heart is transformed, when different desires come into our awareness, when different perceptions come, then we can see the old ego has been burned to ashes. Hare Krishna, welcome. Have you survived your children? 52 of them, or 60, or yeah. When we have developed a new identity, then and only then can we say that the spiritual practice has really done something to us. Someone who stays exactly the same after engaging in spiritual practice has either not a very powerful spiritual practice, or he's just very stubborn. His ego is very strong. So the sadhana of chanting the holy name, or the practice of spiritual, of chanting, is known to be a powerful spiritual practice because it spiritualizes the heart. And for this you must know two things. What is the holy name, and what is the heart? The holy name is really Krishna himself coming into a combination of letters. The ancient yoga scriptures give us an example which has been taken up also in our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. It is the example of fire rising iron. When you have normal iron and bring it in contact with a strong fire, the iron will first become warm, then it will glow, and in the end it will be hot, red iron. It will be fire. In other words, a substance can be transformed by contact with another substance. In the same way, the syllables of the holy name, which are syllables you can find everywhere, they are material syllables, ha and re, or ra and ma, you can find them everywhere. These are not in themselves spiritual things. But in contact with the Lord, with God, it becomes spiritual. Just like iron, when held long enough into fire, will become fire. It changes its nature. It will transform. Is the example clear? This does not happen with scent. It doesn't happen with cloth. It doesn't happen with paper. But it does happen with these syllables of the holy name, which when they become Krishnarized, so to say, or fire-arized, and then they come in contact with our heart. That's why I'm so eager in teaching you how to absorb the sound. No? That was what we did in the last two workshops. We went into some techniques which help us to focus on the sound and to receive the sound. And in this way, be really with the sound. When you do this, your heart also becomes changed. And I want to, I've made a note here on this, which I want to read to you. Yes, here the note is there. It is said that since time immemorial, that is time which we cannot trace back really, the soul has become covered with a certain shakti, or material shakti. It's the avidya shakti. It's an energy which makes you forget who you are. And from this avidya shakti come ego, desire, aversion also to something, and the fear of death or holding on to something. Let me repeat. When the soul is in the material energy, it becomes covered by that energy, which makes it forgetful and gives it an ego, desires, and from that also aversion. I think you all know this. You like some things or some type of people, and you do not like other things or people, colors, sounds, whatever it is. Attachment and aversion is really the same thing. It's a reaction and acceptance of the material energy. And then fear of death or clinging. This all comes from this ignorance, avidya, which is something like the, let me say, you could call it like a ground on which weeds grow and plants grow and trees grow and creepers grow. And they all come out from this ground. So from this one shakti, this one energy which covers us, the ego comes, the desires come, our attachments come, our fears come, and so on. So when the chanting is received in a receptive heart, then this problem, this covering, you could say, or this material influence gets removed. And more, as the ignorance gets removed and all its byproducts are leaving us, we are awakening to the light of spiritual reality. You have maybe seen that when you were in kirtans already. When you are able to absorb yourself, then something happens to you. Yesterday, one participant told me, what did you do? You seem to have taken us into another world, into another dimension, another experience. Yeah, what happens is, it's not because of me, it's really because of you. You were able to receive or focus on the holy name and then receive it in your heart, and then it did do its work there. It was like light coming into a dark room and all of a sudden brightening up the room and making certain things clear which were before covered with the darkness inside the room. This is this you need to understand, but this only works. I really wish to make this point very clear. It only works when you actually can focus on the holy name and you can receive the holy name. It does not work when you are totally absent-minded in what you do. I can tell you very very openly, I was 15 years into my spiritual practice as a devotee, and I have had seen my heart had not changed. I had seen that. I could see the same attachments, the same reservations. Like, my big thing was, because I come from a different society circle than most of the devotees, I felt uncomfortable because I was not with my people, really. That was my ego, my conditioning. I could see this arrogance was still there. Maybe there's still a little bit in me, but it was very strong then. I became desperate because of it. I thought, I have taken to a spiritual practice, to a spiritual process, but it has not really transformed me. I'm the same cold North German as when I was, when I entered this. And I asked myself, why? And is this so? I thought either the process is not working or I'm not working. You know, there's one of the two. And I discovered really that I had not really opened the doors of perception, if I may call it like this. I had not really opened my heart and allowed the holy name to come really in and do its work inside. And then I set on a journey, a personal journey of discovery, and was very eager to see how will it work? What are the different informations here, both from practitioners as well as from scriptures and so on? And I discovered a wealth of information which I then tried to put into practice. And yes, I can say it's very powerful, this process. It's when I can open up and focus on it and receive it and so on. But in order to, this brings me back to the beginning, in order to interact with Krishna in the form of his holy names. God can appear in many forms. One is sound vibration, and that's what we are thinking at, that's what we're looking at the moment. In interacting with a spiritual entity, I have to also be spiritual. Let me give you an example. If I want to enter fire, I have to become fire. That's the example which my spiritual master always said. Or if I want to talk with Pundarik, dann kann ich nicht mehr Deutsch sprechen. Dann muss ich mich bemühen, eine ganz... I know. I know. That's my point. If I want to speak with Pundarik, I have to endeavor to speak clear English. Otherwise, I can't interact. You can see, just now I spoke German, and Pundarik could not understand. He just got back on me and said, ich kann nicht Deutsch sprechen. I can't speak German. You have, by the way, an Anglo-Saxon, what is it called? Mispronunciation in your German. You know what I'm trying to say. To interact with Krishna, really, I have to also come to the spiritual platform. And therefore, this Sambandha Gyan and the meditations which we did are so important. I am a spiritual soul. He is my Lord and Master. And I'm here in this world to reconnect. It's so important to do this in the right frame. Language is a frame of communication. Wow.
come a little bit closer.
Language is a frame of communication. So if you want to enter kirtan, enter sambandha in the right frame in which the communication can take place. That's very, very important. I've seen this in my case, and I'm seeing it with many devotees of Krishna, that it will really work for them once they can focus and receive the holy name and then interact with the holy name as a devotee of the Lord. Oh, my Lord, I'm not the body. I'm spiritual. I belong to you only. I don't cling any longer to my ignorance. This morning, I talked with a few devotees about the phenomena called death. And I talked from a deep concern for my own parents, who are now, my father is 94. He says with a smile, I will make it up to 100, you will see. But he's elderly, really elderly, and he doesn't have the most fit body. He was fighting in the Second World War and got a few serious, he was short. He was near bomb explosion, and it one splinter flew into his brain. He's good now, but he has suffered some serious things. So, I thought I was seeing something in a spiritual, in a vision regarding their departure from this world. And I was later talking with devotees on my experience, and we discussed that this is the ultimate end for the body, but really there is no death because we are a spiritual soul. Once when I was in Jagannath Puri, there is a king. It's no longer a political position, but a representative position. The king of Puri is very friendly with many devotees of Krishna, and I'm also one of his friends. He considers me the friend. And I was staying for a day in his palace. Not for a day, for a night. I came in the evening, we had evening discussions, and then I slept in he gave me a room and I slept in his palace. I had nightmares because there were all the stuffed out tigers which the previous kings had killed. They have to be a king, you have to confront a tiger when you're young with only a knife and then win. So it's, he himself has not done this. So, anyways, so I was sleeping in this room of the stuffed out tigers, a demonstration of the male ego, really. So in the morning I was woken up by some music, and as I opened the door to find out what was going on, it was in this big corridor before my door, I saw a funeral procession. There were musicians playing sad music and people wailing and banging the fists on their heads. It was really, I thought, my God, someone has important seems to have died. And I went out and went with the funeral procession, got in front, and there on the stretcher I saw who had died in the night. It was my friend the king. He was carried on a stretcher to a funeral pyre in the courtyard of the palace, He was put by the servants on the funeral pyre. And the moment, after a minute or so, the dead man moved and sat up, and all the servants looked at him and went home. They knew. I was very irritated. What was this? And he saw me looking like this. You know, the procession dispersed very quickly. Everyone went to do their business. I was thinking, I was looking at him. He was just getting down from the funeral pyre. And he looked at me and said, I do this every morning. Hare Krishna. No, I'm okay in my mind. I just prepare myself to the inevitable, towards the inevitable end of this physical existence. And just like I'm getting now up from the funeral pyre, I will get up then for the funeral pyre. It's a rehearsal. I prepare myself. Hare Krishna, Mataji looks at me, still shocked. This is what you do in, this is what Chanakya Pandit says. A wise man should keep death in front of his eyes. Because in the face of death, in the face of your own mortality, you can understand your immortality. At the moment of death, has any one of you been next to a dying person? You have. You have also? Who, Madhva?
I was in the fire brigade.
In the fire brigade, acha. And you, Surabhi? Yes, she left the body. Wow. You have also seen?
Yes, we brought a family member home.
Yeah, oh yeah. And you were there at that moment?
At that moment I was telling him to be, it's okay.
Oh yeah. And at that moment, where you can say, you can go now. You are free to go. And you see some light is coming in the eye or not. It depends how severe the moment is. But you know something is or someone is going. And that's the real person. And moments after, the body, which is visible to our eyes, is like a shirt which has been discarded and put to the side. And you become very, very, you become moved because you have just touched eternity. You've just touched it for a short moment. It's a very, very educative moment, educative is not the word, but very touching moment and very uplifting moment. And even for a little while after this, you are not yet willing to totally go back into your own, constricted existence, where you are, or constrained is the English word, where you are identifying with the body and the mind and limiting all your possibilities to really what your role demands of you. No? This is a very, very interesting experience. So when you want spiritual life, genuine spiritual life, they will always tell you, die to live. That is, leave the illusion, I'm the body and the mind, behind and come to the truth of the soul and of God. No? So in Kirtan, we want to do real Kirtan, we also exit the reality, the material reality, the material illusion, the temporary reality. Let's call it the temporary reality, and we come in contact with a spiritual thing, and that's always so refreshing, enlightening, and inspiring. And do you know what? This happens even without being aware of it. When I, for instance, look at Nimai and of Gaur Krishna, they were born by Krishna conscious parents. They grew up with prasadam in their mouth and worship, you know, and so on. For them, they are a little bit, maybe they have different experiences in their life than us, but I don't think it is necessary for them to totally focus on this always, this sambandha, this understanding, I'm eternal, I'm not the body. I think it is an underlying reality, a substratum of their psychology already. But for us, I think it is always very good to go through these meditations. And we will do this now, and then sing for a little while in this consciousness. And then I want to, then we will have a pause, and after the pause, we will have a very powerful practice. This is also good, but maybe you want to ask the question on this. I'm just thinking, because the practice we will do in the pause. Everything clear? So Kirtan is a spiritual practice, is a very efficient spiritual practice, because here it's the power of the holy name which works on your heart. It's the power of light which dispels the darkness. Please remember that a very, very often and traditional example of iron which becomes fireized. These names are fire. They are spiritual, so to say. And they work on the heart, but it helps really if we can receive the holy name by fixing on the holy name and letting it do its magic. At that time, this avidya shakti, this great ignorance which holds every one of us in its grip, is removed. Oh, sorry. Should we just quickly do a... quickly. You can't rush spirituality. Let us quickly become enlightened. Hare Krishna. Please sit properly. Just center yourself for just a moment. Relax and surrender your body to the feeling of weight. That's very quick. You know, you sit there and then you just become aware, I'm weighting something, my weight is something. It's not about the kilos, it's about just relaxing it. The body, much like a heavy article which you sit down and which then sits on the earth. A few deep inhales and exhales, like you have learned. When you breathe in, say to yourself, in, and you breathe out, stay with the outgoing breath. You might like to count the in and outgoing breath. One, two, three, like this. Now bring your attention into the heart area. Where you, the soul, resides. And through singing, turn to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Please. So, thank you very much for your... I can see we are really, as a group, becoming more and more able to access deeper levels of chanting. We will now make a little pause of 15 minutes. Can we just have a short comparison of watches? I have 25 minutes past 12. Is that something like you also have? 27. Then 15 for, 15 to 12. Let us kindly meet at, please be there in time, 15 to 12. Yes? It's an active pause. You might like to go outside, step, because we will meditate a little, and to get shake off any drowsiness is good to go.